You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Now it's time for something that you're sure to have some opinions on, and that is nudity. This week, the Broadcasting Standards Authority released new research looking into the impact of sex and nudity on our TV screens and the impact it has on children. The review found that some studies found nudity on screen that is educational can provide a positive context for sexual education. But it also found that a large number of studies concluded that exposure to such media impacts on the attitudes and behaviours of children and young people. I spoke to the Broadcasting Standards Authority Chief Executive Belinda Moffat, started by asking her what exactly all this research tells us.
We were looking at how nudity on screen, and obviously mainly in the television context, might impact or harm young people, and whether, you know, different scenarios would affect that. What was really interesting about the research is that there is limited research about the impact of nudity on television, but our researchers who conducted a literature review of existing research found that there is a larger body of research about the impact of sexual media content on children and young people. But that body of research was also divided about whether there's actually a causal link to harm to children and young people. Some said, you know, look, there's no link, but other pieces of research said exposure to, you know, sexual media content can impact on the behaviour and attitudes of children and young people. So it might lead to, you know, more risky behaviour, perhaps more permissive attitudes, or they might sort of develop a view that, you know, their peers are engaged in, you know, more risky behaviour just because of what they may have seen on their screens. So that was interesting, but what I think was really important about what came through as a common theme in the research was that actually the influence of peers and parents and caregivers in the home also has quite a big influence on, you know, children and young people's attitudes and behaviours towards, you know, sexual issues. So, you know, in a way, it's just as much about context and the environment that a child or a young person is growing up in that can shape those attitudes. And what the research has suggested is that the most important thing for children and young people is provide them with a supportive environment where if they do see content, they've got someone to talk to about it, that they're supported, that they can, if, you know, if they're curious or if they see something that might be distressing, there's someone that is able to have a conversation with them and help them make sense of what it means or, you know, put it in the right context. So I think that was, you know, one of the important aspects that came out of it.
Right, so I can understand the need for restrictions in terms of children seeing things like pornography or sex scenes in films, but I heard a conversation, for example, on Talkback last night, and they were saying, what about, you know, streakers at the rugby? Why do you need to blur them? It's just the human body. What's actually the harm of just plain nudity outside of a sort of sexual context?
Look, that's a really, really good point, because I think what the research sort of indicates, and also some research we did asking the community, what do you think of some of the BSA decisions, is that I think tolerance of just the naked body is certainly, you know, increasing. And so we're much more tolerant of just the naked body and in that environment. And in the context where, from a screen point of view, if you know what's coming, you can make a decision about whether you want to see it. Some people aren't comfortable, and we have to accept that everyone has a different perspective. But yes, I think you're right that there is increased tolerance about the naked body, but there are still there are different attitudes when it comes to more sexualized, you know, content, and that's probably what we need to be thinking about. Nudity, when it's depicted positively, you know, like in an educational context or a medical context, again, you know, people's more accepting that they're saying we need to know about the body, we need to understand how it works. But if you put it in a different context and it's more sexualized, then I think what we're hearing is, you know, it does need to be, for broadcasters, it needs to be properly classified, and audiences are entitled to receive a warning about what the content is going to be about, and so that, you know, audiences and particularly parents and caregivers can make a decision about is that content right for the children and young people in their houses. And it is those audiences that are best placed to make that decision, and I guess that's what what this research highlights is, you know, broadcasters will do their piece by providing the warnings, you know, classifying, and we, our role is obviously to encourage the use of those tools and effective use, but then the audiences also have a really important role to make some informed decisions about, you know, what content they want to see in their own home.
But what more can you do as a broadcaster than put up an adults only on an R18 warning and put something on, you know, after the watershed late at night? What else can they do?
Well, I think, and the reason why we've done this research is, be aware about how it might impact some people. And so if there's sexual media content and it's going to be aired at a time and it might be classified and it might in a PG or it might be AO, but you think children may or may see it, or if you think it could harm children if they were inadvertently to see it, then you could also include information at the end of the program, like, you know, kids line, you know, numbers and that sort of thing. There's a WhatsApp line and there's a kids line, and that's a place where kids who don't have a supportive environment to make sense of it could go to if they needed support to understand what they've seen. So I think there's those things. And the other thing that we've talked about is, you know, we're told that sometimes the warnings are like public service announcements. So I guess we would say to broadcasters, is there a way you can make those warnings and the information you give a bit more creative so that they really do capture the attention of the audiences, and that they're really, you know, impactful and effective? So those are some of the things that the broadcasters can, you know, can think about when they look at this research.
Oh, that's an interesting way of thinking about it. How much has this sort of research basically just come out as a result of that one show that came out last year called Naked Attraction?
Yeah, look, I mean, certainly that show did raise quite a lot of discussion. And I think, you know, you would have seen it through the media and in social media platforms as well. And we did receive quite a number of complaints, and that was a focus. But we do get a number of other complaints about nudity and or sexual media content in other contexts. So, you know, we've had complaints about Shortland Street, where there are storylines that have been the subject of complaints. We've received complaints about Embarrassing Bodies, which, you know, it's a medical reality television program, and it has some, you know, strong public interest in some of the issues it raises. But again, we've had complaints about that content. We've also had complaints about movies where there has been, you know, sexual content or in scenes that some audiences have found challenging. So we decided that there was actually a body of complaints and of decisions that the BSA had issued. And we felt that it was really important to do two things. One, test with the community whether the community agreed with how the authority had dealt with those complaints, and so that's one of the bits of research we've released. And then we also thought we do need to test whether this content actually does cause harm. There's an assumption that it does, and the arguments we've seen suggest that it does, but we wanted to find out, well, what research is there that gives us further evidence about what the harm, whether there's harm, and then what that harm might be. And then, importantly, how can the standards be applied to mitigate that harm? So, you know, that was why the focus for this research.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.